Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about the goal and the practice of Bible reading. And, you know, you might wonder, if you regularly listen to this show, at the end of December, we talked about, you know, Bible reading in 2023. So why are we talking about this so close to that episode? Well, you might already be, the reason is I know that, you know, this is really, really, well, first off, this is really, really important. And second off, I know that for some of you, you might already be discouraged in your Bible reading. Maybe you got through Genesis already, or, you know, you're starting in Exodus, or maybe you're to Leviticus or Numbers. You know, if you're like me, I read through the Bible, you know, from Genesis to Revelation straight through. And you know what? It can be discouraging. And I want to talk with you today about overcoming that discouragement. But first, let's remind ourselves about Bible reading. It's a delightful duty. You know, we're talking about the fact that, as the psalmists say, God delights in us. How much he, and the only way that God, to know God, is to know him as he has revealed himself in his word. Reading our Bibles, it's how we get to know God. It's how we get to know who God is and what he's like, as Psalm 1 talks about. There's a delight for those who read the word of God. Psalm 119 talks about, you know, the psalmist is delighting in the law of the Lord. How are we going to know where to find our delight? How are we going to know where to point our affection? How are we going to have our affections trained? And the answer to that is in the Word of God, because God has given us his 66 books that constitute Scripture, so that we would know him, we would know the character of God, we would know the attributes of God, we would grow in likeness to Christ. So Bible reading in this way is not just a duty, it's not just something that we're checking off, that we're just doing, it's a delight. We're getting to know the God who has revealed himself in his word to us, so that we might know him and we might grow in him. This is so important, because I think, you know, especially the longer you've been a Christian, a Bible reading can become a chore. It can become just something you're just doing to do. This is why I think mixing it up is so important. Listening through the ESV audio or the ESV app on your phone, and also reading your Bible, finding multiple ways to read and then to hear the Bible is so important. I want to camp on the second point here the most in this episode, and it's this. Bible reading and discouragement, how to overcome it. Well, I think one of the biggest and the best ways to overcome Bible reading and any discouragement in our lives, to be honest with you, is to find trustworthy friends in your if you're a man, find an older man or maybe a guy that's similar to your age or multiple guys that you can talk to. Hey, how do you deal with discouragement in your own Bible reading? Are there any tips? Are there any things that you found helpful? Beyond just the first point, finding the Bible to be a delight, you know, these kind of things are helpful. And then be open to them asking you questions. Why do you get discouraged? What, is there particular portions that you're having a hard time understanding, or you just wrestle with, or, you know, be open to that. Be open to this kind of conversation. And if you're a woman, find a trustworthy, godly woman who, you know, knows her Bible and is further along in the grace of God and is sound in their understanding of Scripture and Orthodox theology, Titus 2. That'll help you have conversations. If you're a guy, find a trustworthy man to talk with you or talk to your pastor. If you're a woman, find a godly woman, older woman to talk with about these things in your local church. These things help. Sometimes just hearing it out loud, hey, I'm struggling with reading Leviticus because, you know, these laws, there's just so many of them and they're over and over and over again. And what application do they have for me today? Why am I even bothering with this? Sometimes just vocalizing those kind of things out loud and then being willing to listen to other people. This really helps. This helps not only with our Bible reading, but it helps with, you know, the stuff of life. When we are honest about the pains and the struggles and the fears, not only are we being open and honest, but we're also, you know, opening ourselves up to what Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, to bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ there is what Jesus talks about in the Great Commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. And not only this, but we're opening each other to the ministry of one anothering each other. This is so important because that's also in Galatians 6, 1. Bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The one another passages, they fill out what our life in Christ is to look like in our local churches as we love and as we care for one another with the love of Christ. And so this is really, really important. If you're struggling, you need to find, if you're a guy, a trustworthy, a godly man in your local church. If you're a woman, find a trustworthy, godly woman to walk alongside of you. You can always email us here. My email is dave@servantsofgrace.org. We would love to help you in this area as we're able to by the grace of God. But don't just give up your Bible reading. This is really, really important. Bible reading, personal Bible reading is the more you intake of God's word, as we'll talk about here in a second, the more the Holy Spirit is going to use the word in your life to point you to himself from his word. So that actually leads into the third point that I have for you, Bible reading and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode, because over the last month or so, I have noticed a disturbing trend, at least on my social media. I often post quotes encouraging people to read their Bible or to understand more of the doctrine of Scripture from solid brothers that have come and gone and died, like J.C. Ryle, Charles Spurgeon, others. But there's been this accusation out there that somehow I don't believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem with that. In the introduction to my book, The Word Explored, I actually talk about the Bible reading and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And there I talk about how from the scriptures, how Jesus in the Upper Room Discourse, he spends in John 16 especially, he spends a significant amount of time, more than any other time in the Gospels, talking about the ministry of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. And there what we discover is that the Holy Spirit uses the Word to point us, you know, to Christ from the Word and to convict us of sin and to send us out on mission for his glory. And this is so important because, you know, the more that you're intaking of the Word, the more that the Holy Spirit is going to use the Word to convict you, to comfort you, to encourage you, to help you. In fact, that's the ministry of the Spirit. He's the paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside. And this is what the Spirit does. So when people say, and they have said things like this to me in recent days, you know, no Holy Spirit, no Christian. That sounds good, but here's the thing. In reference to a quote about Bible encouraging people to read their Bible, I'm not discouraging people from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm actually encouraging them to get into the Word that the Holy Spirit inspired. But the problem is no Holy Spirit, no Christian is used by many people. And there's this other dimension to this. In the New Apostolic Reformation, there are some people that suggest that, you know, if you're educated in the Bible and in theology, that somehow you don't have the Holy Spirit. And that is absolutely ludicrous. I am a very well-educated Christian, but that doesn't mean that I don't have the Spirit. If I don't have the Spirit, then I'm not a child of God, because God's Spirit testifies to my spirit that I belong to Him, that I'm adopted by Him, that I'm, and not only that, but at the moment of conversion, I'm indwelt by the Spirit. And so this is utter nonsense, to say the least. And also an attempt to minimize the encouragement to get in the Word, which, as Christians, the only way to know God, the only way to know His character, to know His attributes, to know everything about God, is to know it as He's revealed it in the Bible. In fact, this is where we come up against, directly up against the New Apostolic Reformation. Because what they want us to do is they think that God speaks outside of the Bible. God speaks outside of the Bible. And so no longer is the Bible sufficient for our faith and for our practice. Instead, we also need to hear direct words from God that are not actually in the Bible. But see, that undermines the sufficiency of Scripture. You know, this, it also elevates, the problem is that it elevates our experience above Scripture, and at the best we can say that it makes Scripture and our feelings at the same level. But both of those things are wrong. The Scripture is the final authority for our faith and for our practice. It is, as Peter said in 2 Peter 1, it's for our life and for our godliness. There's no other way to know God and to know Him than to know Him as He's revealed in the Word. That means that we don't need additional words from God. We don't need additional dreams about or from God. We don't need visions today. We have the 66 books that constitute the Word of God. And what God has said is enough. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit aims to take the truth that we read and that we hear preached on Sunday at our local church, and He aims to drive it deeper into our hearts and into our lives. We call this the means of grace. It has a personal component. That's what we're talking about today, in that we're supposed to read and study and meditate and memorize and apply the Bible to our lives. But there's also a corporate dimension where God, by the Spirit, through the expository preaching of your pastor, God is using your pastor as an instrument of the Word as He faithfully explains and interprets the Scripture. Then the Holy Spirit comes along with the faithful preaching of the Word, and He brings conviction, and He brings comfort, and He points people to Christ. And then He sends them out on mission for God's glory. But the accusation that somehow I am discouraging people from the Holy Spirit, I can tell you that statement is not accurate. I believe that in the means of grace, I believe that what I just said, that God uses Bible reading and He uses biblical preaching, and then the Spirit comes alongside and He uses those means to bring transformation in all of life. So that's why I encourage people to read their Bibles, not because I don't think that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is unimportant. Rather, the Spirit does, He brings conviction, He does bring change, but we have to be faithful to the Word. We have to avail ourselves of the means of grace. We need to be in the Word. The Spirit uses the Word. He used the Word both read and studied and meditated on and memorized and so on and so forth, and hand preached correctly. He used it in our lives to help us to grow to be more like Christ. And this is just like it, with the discouragement aspect of things that we just talked about. Because you know what? The Lord is using these things in our life to help address the anxiety, the worry, the fear, and so on and so forth. As we're working through, as we're studying, as we're diving more and more into Scripture, we're going to be able to know more about God, and we're going to be able to know how to rightly handle the Word of God. And this brings me to my last point, and it's a really big one, and we've talked about it before. The goal of becoming biblically literate is to know God as He has revealed Himself in His Word, and then to grow to be more like Jesus as He's revealed in the Word of God. That's a fancy way, a long way of saying what I said earlier, that the only way to know God is to know Him as He's revealed Himself in His Word. So the only way to know Jesus is to know Him as He's revealed in the Word. In fact, Jesus says this in John 5:39, the Scriptures testify of me. Luke 24:27, all of Scripture is about Jesus. It all points to Him. It's all about Him. So the only way to know and to grow to be more like Jesus is to know Him as He's revealed in the Word. And then to grow in our understanding and our skill in handling and rightly handling the Word of God as the Word of God is all centered on and all about Him. In fact, as we talk about becoming biblically literate, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about increasing in our knowledge of the Bible. We're talking about growing in our skill in rightly handling the Bible. To be biblically literate is to not know even the most basic facts about the Bible. Now, some of us do struggle with knowing key facts and ideas, even remembering them. But that even there, you might know where things are. Okay, so we're even differentiating there. You don't have to have everything memorized, and you know very few people do in the world, but you might know where it is. You can point to it. You can open your Bible. You know where it is. But the point is we all, no matter where we're at, whether you're a new Christian or you're a seasoned Christian, we all need to keep growing in this. There's 66 books for a reason. You know, we need to keep reading. We need to keep studying. We need to keep meditating, keep memorizing, keep applying, keep hearing the Word preached. We all need to grow in our literacy of the Bible. And that requires time, it requires effort. This is why I encourage you, if you're having a hard time reading your Bible, focus on the book that your pastor is preaching through. You know, if he's preaching through Genesis, read through Genesis again and again and again. It becomes so well-versed in Genesis that you know the story. You know how the story works its way out, but you know the various sections and so on and so forth. And you understand the theology of Genesis. By the way, understanding Genesis is absolutely vital to understanding the whole of the Bible, especially the first 11 chapters. But one of the other reasons is I want to encourage you, and we're going to come back to this throughout this year. I want to encourage you to get in the Word, to make contact, even 5 minutes, 10 minutes every day in the Word. Whether that's reading the text that or the book that your pastor's preaching through, or you're reading through the whole Bible, take 5 to 10 minutes reading your Bible. Maybe listen to the Bible on your drive into work. You know, if you have a 30-minute ride, spend half of that in the Bible, the rest of it in prayer, you know, and so on and so forth. Or just reflecting on what you read, thinking about it, mulling on it, thinking on what is pure and good and lovely in the Word of God, as Philippians 4:8 tells us. But no matter where you begin, whether you are reading through the book your pastor's preaching, or you're reading through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, or you're just reading a book of the Bible, make contact every day, 5 to 10 minutes, with the Word of God. And God will use your contact with the Word, your intake of the Word in your life, and the Spirit, you'll begin to notice, is at work. He's using the Word to help you grow to be more like Christ. I don't know about you, but you know, it's too easy to walk this road, this journey of a lifetime with Christ, and to do it in my own power. It's too easy. That's why we need to be in the Word. That's why we need to be in prayer. These personal spiritual disciplines help us to grow. But also, we need to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters under qualified biblical male eldership and pastors in our local church to help us. You know, so if we have a question then we don't know, we can ask them, hey, brother, pastor, I don't know the answer to this. Can you help me in my Bible reading? I'm really struggling in this. Do you have any tips, guidance, etc., books that you recommend? You know, by the way, if you're struggling with reading and studying the Bible, I want to encourage you to pick up my first book, The Word Explorer, The Problem of Biblical Literacy and What to Do About It. In that book, I talk about personal Bible reading, study, meditation, memorization, application, and also life in the church. It'll help you to grow. And we're going to come back to this. I also want to encourage you to check out our digital magazine, Theology for Life. We have an issue on hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. That will help you. You can find that at servantsofgrace.org under publications. Click on Theology for Life, and you'll find that issue. You can find my book, The Word Explored, at Servants of Grace. Click on shop, and there you can find The Word Explored. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Equipping You in Grace podcast. Until next week, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.